So consider this, folks. Back in the 50s, when Brown versus Board of Education declared that separate was not equal and segregation in public education ended, it was a historic landmark that changed America for good. We're still changing as a result of it. In a sense, there may be another such issue brewing regarding access to public transportation in America. Your freedoms and citizenship are heavily dependent on your access to transportation. Well, that's not enshrined in law, but your cash flow is certainly dependent on your access to transportation. And Andrea Bernstein, the director of the Takeaways Transportation Nation Project, is all over this story. Yesterday, she spoke with Ronald Sims, the deputy secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, about a program to help people calculate the affordability of where they live based on their access to transportation. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
So the affordability index is what the Housing and Urban Development Department rolled out yesterday. What is it?
Well, this was actually put out by a private group, the Center for Neighborhood Technology in Chicago, but endorsed by the Federal Department of Housing and Transportation. So when you buy a home, what do you calculate? You calculate how much you have for a down payment. You calculate how much of a monthly payment you could make. And right. then you decide whether your home is affordable. That's the way you do it, right?
Right. Or if you're renting, you calculate your rent, you know,
right.
those sorts of things.
So
maybe parking fees, something like that.
But what this study says, transportation is also a fixed cost. And if you have to drive, you have car payments, you have insurance, you have gas, you have tolls. And when I spoke to the Deputy Secretary of HUD, Ronald Sims, he said sometimes what can happen is these transportation costs can be more than your mortgage. And then suddenly your affordable dream house becomes not so affordable. In fact, he said when his agency was looking at defaults, what they found is that the tipping point comes when transportation pushes up these fixed expenses to 50-60% of income.
We're simply saying it's time now for us to be honest in how we look at costs and realize that transportation is a significant one. It must be factored in, and it is better to live in more dense environments for most people than it is for them to drive to qualify because they cannot afford to drive to qualify.
That's a Deputy HUD Secretary Ronald Sims, in a sense, describing how you can be underwater in more ways than one in your affordability if you live in a place where it's too expensive to commute. But in dense locations, property values are higher. How does he resolve that?
Well, when you think about it, when you drive out to someplace like the Poconos
right.
to commute to New York City, or Aurora to commute to Chicago, or Prince William County to commute to Washington, D.C., the houses are cheaper, so you qualify to get a mortgage. But then you find out that your transportation costs are so high that these are some of the areas in the country with the highest rates of foreclosure, because what people thought was affordable actually isn't.
So is there some sort of buyer beware program, a set of facts up front that would encourage more intelligent buying on the part of consumers?
Well, you know, one of the things about this index, and you can find it on our website, thetakeaway.org, is that if you are thinking about buying in an area, you can go in and actually, based on access to mass transit and alternative forms of transportation, it will tell you how much it would cost to pay for transportation in that area. So there's a sort of individual responsibility. But on the part of HUD, you know, I sort of said, well, what is the federal government going to do? And this is what Ron Sims told me.
Every jurisdiction is going to have to change the way they plan and where they invest and what they build and what they encourage. This isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to be a marathon, not a sprint.
I don't know if marathon is the analogy there. It's going to be a real demographic shift as populations consider moving back to dense areas or consider jettisoning commuting altogether and taking public transit that they might have never considered before.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's so interesting, because the Deputy Secretary of the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development was basically saying, yes, that the dream house way out in the exurbs, an hour or a 90-minute or a two-hour commute for a job is no longer a sustainable way to live. And what he kind of said is America's going to have to shrink, not in population, but in the size of its metro areas.
The data tells us we can't afford it. We've got to rethink how we live. And it means closer to work. It means probably using things like public transportation or non-motorized transportation like bicycles, pedestrian-friendly areas, jobs with greater proximity to where we live, and in an inviting environment for people to live.
Sounds like a potential political firestorm if the HUD tries to, if HUD tries to regulate their way towards this. What's going to happen?
Yeah, and he pretty much rejected the idea of outright regulation. He said, look, the banks are going to do this anyway because they're going to say it's in their interest to figure out whether people can really afford mortgages. And they're going to start to, you know, sort of encourage people to look at their transportation costs listen to what he said about regulation.
I think dollars and cents will speak louder than any government regulation would.
No requirement that transportation costs be disclosed in a mortgage disclosure statement, nothing like that?
I don't mind that. I actually believe in providing people the information they need. I'm a firm believer that if you tell people what they face in terms of costs, that they will respond and the market will change.
Well, we've already seen that the Obama administration is all about warning labels in the Health Care Reform Act, which has, you know, posting of calories on all kinds of foods. We were just discussing that. This is a whole other class of warning labels regarding the cost of your commute.
Yeah, that's right. It's not just that your French fries are going to cost you 1,400 calories. It's that your commute's going to cost you $1,400 a month. And when you sign on the dotted line on that mortgage, is that something you really can afford along with your mortgage and insurance payments and your property taxes and everything else that you're going to have to pay?
Before we go, I can't resist relying on, you know, the sort of political part of your brain, Andrea. You've covered the suburban versus urban political battles throughout this country and certainly in the state of New York. Is this going to inflame that here, that exurbs are suddenly going to be in a political backseat?
You know, I'm not sure, because if you look at some of the places like Prince William County, one of the biggest issues there is transportation. People are tired of long commutes. They're tired of congestion. And having transportation options is becoming an increasingly viable political option in some of these areas.
Well, go listen to the full interview with Deputy HUD Secretary Ron Sims that Andrea did yesterday at thetakeaway.org. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.